This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to a mindful Ramadan. You know, it is so critical for us to have the right perspective and have the best view of others, because when we don't, not only are we harming other people, but we're also harming ourselves. It is critical for us to see the best in others and emulate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dealings and in his interactions with others. So today we're going to talk about the benefits, the psychological benefits and the spiritual benefits of thinking the best of others, inshallah. And today I have a special guest. We have Sarah Sultan with us. Mashallah, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. So happy to be here. Jazakallah khair for having me.
Of course, it's a pleasure to have you. And you know, many people may not know that we have been family friends, mashallah, that your mother-in-law is Dr. Hanat Gamal, who has been a dear friend for, I think, almost 20 years, mashallah. So this is a long-going family friend, mashallah, that we've had.
Oh, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And it's a privilege. Yeah, it's always so nice whenever I talk to my mother-in-law and we talk about you. It's always such positive memories that she brings up, mashallah. So that's wonderful.
She's been instrumental in, you know, I always say that so much of what I do is on her mizan, because she's the one who said, you need to teach, you need to do this work. So may Allah bless her, mashallah.
Ameen, ameen.
Mashallah. I want to share some of the your background. You're doing wonderful work, and I'm so proud of all that you're doing. And Sarah Sultan is a licensed professional counselor who strives to empower her clients through achieving healthier, more fulfilling lives and relationships while reconnecting with Allah during the healing process. I love that. Sarah has a master's degree in mental health counseling and has practiced therapy for nearly 10 years. Her specialization includes the intersection of Islamic values with psychological and therapeutic principles, the impact of trauma on faith, identity development, and techniques to provide strength and healing to marriages and families. She has been actively involved in serving the Muslim community over the course of the past 15 years through providing lectures, halaqas, and workshops. Mashallah, so lovely. I love seeing you get active in the community and all that you're providing. We need more individuals like yourself, mashallah.
Oh, jazakallah khair. Well, you've definitely been an inspiration and a mentor for me through so much of that. So it's much appreciated. And I pray that a lot of it is on your mizan as well.
Oh, that's so sweet. Jazakallah khair. And you know, we all support one another in different ways and get inspired. And it's beautiful to acknowledge that. Jazakallah khair. So this idea of having a positive intent or positive outlook on others. Tell us, what is the benefits? What is the psychological benefits and the spiritual benefits of doing this?
Well, you know, I think that thinking positively of others, a lot of times we think about this on behalf of the other person, right? We're attributing a positive intent to them. We're working toward forgiving them. And it's all about that person. But in reality, husn al-dhan, right? Or giving benefit of the doubt or thinking well of others, it's something that's for us, right? And I think that's so powerful. And if we can switch that mindset, then we realize how powerful it is, right? Because it's something so rewarded Islamically. Like there's such a beautiful hadith of the Prophet where he talks about like there's a man who enters the masjid, and three times this man is entering the masjid, and the Prophet says, a man from the dwellers of paradise will walk in now. And then the same person walks in three times. And when one of his companions heard that, he's like, okay, what makes this guy so special? And the companion who wanted to find out was Abdullah ibn Amr. And he follows him, he stays with him for 3 days, and he doesn't see anything super special. Like he does all of his obligatory acts of worship, but nothing so special. And in the end of the hadith, you find out that the special thing about him is that when he goes to sleep, he says, I don't hold any grudge against any Muslim or envy anyone for what bounties that Allah has granted them.
Allah.
Such a beautiful quality.
That's it. So he wasn't doing extra zakat, extra prayer, extra any worship, but it was just the idea of being able to let go. That's powerful. And I love what you said about the fact that it's about us, right? So many times people are stuck because they've been hurt, they've been oppressed, or they've been betrayed in some way. And they feel that, no, I'm not going to let this person off the hook. And they're holding all this resentment, which actually harms them. It actually is this, it affects their mentality. It affects their energy level. So it is powerful to think about yourself in this process.
Absolutely. And it also, like, you know, it impacts your mental and psychological and emotional energy, but that also then impacts your spiritual energy, right? And a lot of times we see that, like, husn al-dhan, like, think in others, like thinking well of others, can be connected to being able to think well of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And so I think if we make that our intention, that, you know, there's this beautiful ayah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about one of the rewards of Jannah. And he says that one of the rewards of Jannah is that I will, like, and we will remove whatever is in their chests of resentment toward one another, so that they will be brothers on thrones facing each other.
Oh, I get goosebumps because that's so beautiful, because the verse that says salam and salama, they will be saying salam. That is what appeals to me about Jannah the most, honestly. It's just this idea of wanting good for another person and spreading that peace. So how beautiful is that?
Absolutely. Absolutely, subhanAllah. And you know, like, when you think about this reward of Jannah, it makes you realize just how exhausting it is when you don't have it here.
Right.
Like, it, that those negative thoughts, those negative feelings that we harbor in our hearts, especially people who are close to us or people who are impactful in our lives, it can drain our energy to such an extent that it drains our spiritual energy. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So, you know, when we ask ourselves, like, is it worth it to hold on to these negative feelings, or like to think that this person is trying to hold me, is it helping me to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is it pushing me further away? You know, and so trying to reconcile our hearts with one another is, like, it's beneficial from so many angles.
Definitely. I like to see it, like, if the analogy is like we have a limited amount of energy, right? Whether spiritual energy. And then each time we're thinking, oh, that person really makes me mad, we're like, we're pouring a little bit of that energy out. And before you know it, it's completely depleted and you are, you know, you have no more energy to deal with the circumstances that you're faced with. So it really does free you. It frees you emotionally and spiritually, subhanAllah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember, like, early on in my career, one of the metaphors that I had heard was, you know, why are you allowing this person to live rent free in your mind, right? Like, this is expensive real estate, you know, so take care of it and be cautious of it. And, you know, it truly is, like, even when we're thinking about it from, like, the spiritual perspective and, like, Islamic psychology perspective, right? Like, it is expensive real estate. Our thoughts impact our emotions, impact our behaviors, impact our hearts in such a profound way, you know? And so, like, sometimes I like to think, okay, you know, if I wasn't giving this energy toward this, like, attributing a negative intention toward this person, if instead I thought to myself, you know what, this person, just like so many others, is doing the best that they can. You know, they're not intentionally trying to hurt me, giving my brother 70 excuses, my sister 70 excuses, you know, then what does that free up for me, right? Like, that energy, now that I've reclaimed it, where can I direct that energy toward, you know, subhanAllah? And it makes me think about, like, the hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he told his companions, you know, should I tell you something that's better in degree than fasting, prayer, and charity? Mm-hmm. And so they said, you know, of course, we want to know what this is. And he says, reconciliation between people, mm-hmm. putting things right in between people. And so if we can do that just in our minds, so we can reconcile things between us and another person, like, imagine the hasanat that we're getting, and imagine now the energy that we can, using that energy toward other more impactful hasanat.
Constructive ways, exactly. Because many times when we are taking all that energy, it is, you know, we are wasting so much time, and we can definitely have a profound impact. So inshallah, that we can look at it in a way that we are constantly improving ourselves. And one of the ways, and you know, with reconciliation, I mean, that's why we're in the field that we're in, right? Because it gives us so much reward, so much reward. I love the job that we do because it is combining, you know, our faith with our profession and allowing people to get back, you know, restoring their relationship is weighs so heavily on the scale. So when you do it, I love how you said that we do it mentally, because even if you're not reconciling, because sometimes you really can't face the other person, you may not be able to resolve the issue, but just as long as your mind is at peace, then you're good. You're in a good place.
Absolutely. 100%. You know, and I think that like the way that we perceive the intentions of other people, it becomes kind of the self-fulfilling prophecy. Like in the same way that, you know, we talk about like having husnul dhan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having good expectations of Allah, that, you know, and Allah tells us that like, I am as my servant expects of me. If he expects good, he will have it. And if he expects evil, he will have it. Right. Because it leads to a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you expect good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you strive toward pleasing him and you love him more and you want to do more. You want to get closer to him and you do. And if you expect evil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you attribute bad intentions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're not going to want to pray. You're not going to want to connect with him, right? And that's the same with people in our lives too. If we expect that this person is trying to do evil toward me, is trying to hurt me, then that's naturally going to completely divide that relationship.
Absolutely. And you see this in marriages all the time when they just really demonize their spouse. And, you know, I'm just waiting to meet the spouse. And when I see them, I'm like, wow, they're so different than how they were depicted. And it's just because this is the picture that they have painted about their spouse. And they don't see anything else. They don't see beyond that picture. And, you know, what I really focus on is that, you know, the reticular activating system in our brain, we can set it either, it's a filter, right? And we can either set it on what's good about a person or what's bad about a person, or what's good about our life, what is bad about our life. And sometimes people have it set on that pessimism. They're serial pessimists, right? Yes. And then they just, anything that happens, they filter it through that. And it makes them always search for negativity. And if we set it on that positive, like search for something good in a person, it's amazing how creative our brain will become in searching for it. Even it could be someone that could be very challenging, but you can find something to benefit from, even if it's what not to do, right?
Yes, so absolutely. Absolutely. And I think I love what you said about like the filtering, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's something that's amazing about the way that our brain works is what you look for, you will find.
Yes. Right?
If you are looking for evidence of some particular thought or assumption you have, you will find that evidence.
Right.
So if you assume good, you'll find the good. So it's like if it's raining outside, you can interpret it as, oh, well, now my shoes are going to get dirty and it's going to be harder for me. I have to leave a few minutes early for work because you're thinking about all the negatives of it. Right. Or you look at that same exact circumstance and you say, you know, well, alhamdulillah, now I don't have to water my lawn. The trees are getting what they need and all of these different things, right? So it's so much about how we choose to what lens we choose to put on and to wear.
Absolutely. Yes. And if you change that lens, it does everything, because our brain, the main objective is to keep our sanity. And this is what a lot of people don't realize, that the brain cannot distinguish between what is real and what is not real. And so even if you say things that are just completely absurd, that have no basis, but you say it and you believe it, your brain is going to prove you're right every time. So it is very critical for us to make sure that these limiting beliefs that we have, whether it's about ourselves, whether our spouse, our children, our ummah, our communities, that we really reevaluate and we choose what we're thinking, because it could definitely harm us on so many different levels.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's why, you know, one of the things that's so important is the idea of understanding where the thoughts came from, right? Mm-hmm. Like why is it such a struggle to attribute positive intent to people in our lives, right? And a lot of times it's because we're trying to protect ourselves. You know, you said that our brain tries to get us to survive, right? And so our brain protects us from potential risks and potential hurt and potential pain. Right. And so what's the best way to do that is to scan your environment for every possible risk, right? Mm-hmm. Or so we think, although in reality, it actually ends up hurting us more, you know? So, you know, sometimes I think it's really helpful to think, you know, have you been hurt by someone in the past in a similar circumstance to this? And so you're reading into the situation based on a past event and based on the emotion that's coming up, you know, and so asking yourself, well, is the present the same exactly as the past, or is it different? Can I possibly view this from a different perspective? And, you know, what else could be happening in this person's life that resulted in them being a little bit short with me when they spoke to me, you know, and attributing that positive intent to them and reminding yourself that this situation isn't the same as that past one.
It is. It really is freeing when you do that. I see this with couples that when they overreact to a circumstance and we start kind of digging, like, let's dig a little bit. What happened in your childhood? What does this remind you of? You find that it's kind of like an iceberg, right? And just a little bit of it is about the present, and there's so much underneath. And it comes from their childhood. It comes from, you know, an incident they have. And when they recognize that this is all, this anger is not just about your spouse, you know, not taking out the garbage, right? It has, you know, it has to do with so many other things, so many unfulfilled dreams. And recognizing that really relieves you of that, of the tension that it's not just about this person. There's inner work that needs to be done.
Absolutely. And that's one of the questions that I'll ask a client, you know, like if she has a problem with her mom, for example, right, you know, and they got into an argument, you know, I say, if a friend had said the exact same thing that your mom said, right, would you react the same way? Would it feel the same? And no, typically not, because you have all of this baggage and all of this history with that person. And so when they say something, so much of the past comes up and it's not about the present anymore.
Right. It's funny that you say this, because I do this with, like, when it's a mother-in-law, I have a lot of mother-in-law issues. That you may not be able to relate to this one, but it's, you know, they'll say, my mother-in-law said this, and the mother-in-law, I have noticed that they could say anything and it will be categorized as a negative. And then I say, I use that same approach, which, what if your mom had said this? She's like, oh, I'd be totally cool with it. Mm-hmm. So you realize it is the filter, it's your interpretation. And that's why our interpretation of what people say, what they do, is so critical. And why are we choosing this narrative? Why are we choosing this narrative of being a victim? Why are we choosing this narrative of life is so horrible and everyone is out to get me? Because when we do that, when we're in a state of victimized mentality, it is so disempowering, and you can't get yourself out of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I think it just, and then to hear what you're saying, right, isn't it so empowering to realize that so much of that is within our control, right? That we can then make that change. It's not about that other person. It's all about us. And we have the power to change, like you said, the narrative. You know, something that I often ask is, okay, well, what's the story I'm creating in my head? Mm-hmm. You know, like, here are the facts. Right. This is one story you can create from the facts. Here's another story you can create from the facts. So why am I choosing the one that makes me sad versus choosing the one that makes me happy? It's something I do with my kids often, you know, like, it's, you know, they talk about, you know, oh, I'm so sad because, you know, like I didn't get 2 cookies. I really want 2 cookies. And I'm like, but you got one. So if you choose to focus on the cookie you didn't get, how do you feel? Sad. If you choose to focus on the cookie you did get, how do you feel? Happy. So what should you choose to focus on? And we all have that power, Subhanallah.
Absolutely. It's that choice, right? When you feel like you can actually choose to feel better on a daily basis, because too many people are like, you know, my spouse made me mad, or it's my kids, it's the community, it's the whatever, the government. And they just put all the blame on everyone else. They don't realize, like, you know, the fact that when you choose how to look at things, then it's completely freeing. So
absolutely.
Very important. It's important to take the power back. We got to take the power back.
Yes. Yeah. And that's, like, you know, in psychology, right, we talk about internal locus of control and external locus of control. That if everything is external, where you're saying, these situations have the power to break me, this person has made me this way, right, has done this. And now, you know, like you said, my spouse made me so mad, right? Mm-hmm. And sure, there are things people do that bother us. That's absolutely true. But we can't allow these external factors to dictate our reaction, because our reaction is within our control. And that's the internal locus of control.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it's 10% is what happens to you. 90% is how you react. So we've got the power. And it's really critical to think about it that way. I use an analogy with my clients that, you know, what if your friend came and said, I watched this movie and it makes me so sad, so depressed. I'm crying. I'm angry. I'm so frustrated. And they tell you that they watch it 5 times a day. It's like, what would you tell them? And they say, well, I would tell them to stop watching that movie. I'm like, yes, exactly. But you're replaying the movie in your mind of every hurt situation, every time you were betrayed, every time you were hurt, every time you were abused. And you're replaying it over and over and over again for what? You know, and it's just when you recognize that and you finally break that CD and you stop playing that, then you're just actually, you're in so much more peace at that point.
Absolutely. I love that analogy of like the movie that you allow to continue playing through your mind, Kamala. And you know, like I think about it also from the idea of, you know, we're promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're going to be tested, right? Like there's no, this is non-negotiable. We know we're going to be tested. And so it's not the circumstances. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, you know, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, that he's not going to bear, a soul will not be burdened beyond what it can bear. And so, you know, when you think about, okay, we know there are going to be circumstances that are beyond our control. But again, like our reaction is what is within our power. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't test us. If, you know, if we couldn't manage our reaction, and of course there are circumstances that are incredibly, incredibly difficult. And that's not to diminish that. Right. But knowing that our reactions are within our control, which is why we're not held accountable for our circumstances. We're only held accountable for our reaction.
Yes, yes. And that's powerful. When you think about, you know, it is a promise from Allah, and Allah says, and I feel like many of the circumstances in this one verse is like we are experiencing all at once. So Allah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, so that we are tested with loss and fear and death. I mean, so many things, and good, glad tidings to the one who is patient. So Allah's guaranteeing that we're going to be tested. And now, you know, I have just made this shift because I was always about tests, right? We are tested and we have to pass the test. But sometimes that the reflection on a test, it creates a lot of anxiety, right? We feel anxious. We feel stressed when we are tested. So I've made this shift. I just recently turning 50, alhamdulillah. I'm saying, you know what? It's a gift. And when you look at it as a gift, when you recognize the incident, even if it's a loss of a loved one, even if it's loss of finances, even if it's, you know, your health, and you say this is a gift because it is ultimately from Allah, then suddenly you can't help but surrender and submit.
Oh, I love that, SubhanAllah. And actually, it's so powerful for me because I was just talking to a friend that my goal this Ramadan, I'm on a submission mission. That's what
I named it. I like that, submission mission.
Yes, that's what I named it, because, you know, I think that in so many aspects of our lives, especially for those of us who are parents too, mm-hmm. the idea of submitting and realizing that we're not in control of a lot of circumstances and what our children do, what are, you know, the different people in our lives, you know, we can't control what other people do. We can't control what they think. We can't control their perceptions or any of that, right? And there are certain, and then these circumstances arise, and when you submit to mm-hmm. them, is then when you can handle it, right? And, you know, and it's an amazing thing to be able to kind of use that as your frame of reference, like what you said, shifting from this being a test right. to this being a gift, like that's a lens, right? That's a mindset shift of like, oh, what's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trying to gift me with? What lesson am I meant to gain? What, one of the things I think is so powerful when difficult circumstances arise is thinking about, like, what quality am I gaining from this within myself that I wouldn't have had otherwise? I think that's so powerful.
It is. And I ask my clients that sometimes they're going through so much hardship. Maybe it's a divorce. We'll take that as an example. So what's, you know, what is it that you're learning? What have you learned through this? And then like, there's nothing, or what's good about this? There's nothing good about it. I'm losing my life partner. It's terrible. But I start telling them, I probe and I'm like, just think about it. What have you learned? It's like, I've learned independence. I've learned, you know, and they come up with a list of at least 10 things. Because why? They ask the right questions. When we ask the right questions, our mind will generate the right answers. Mm-hmm. And so it is, you know, you suddenly realize that, my God, even though, you know, I went through a person will say they went through a divorce or they've had certain hardship, but they gained so much. And then that's when you understand the wisdom. That's when you see that Allah, you know, this was an act of mercy. It was a blessing. And if we can just surrender from the beginning, it'll be a lot easier. So everyone get on the submission mission. We're all going to submit, inshallah.
Inshallah.
It really is a great way to improve our character because, you know, this is the whole mission of Mindful Ramadan is to take our ibadah and to beautify our character. And if we can beautify, because a lot of that has to do with how we interact with one another. And so if we assume the best, if we are, you know, not painting someone out, we're not demonizing them, and we really look for goodness, we first and foremost benefit ourselves because we're more at peace. And then it's that sisterhood, you know, because that is a really important part, the sisterhood, the brotherhood, the collaborating together. It is, that's what I believe Allah had intended for us to, you know, to implement, right? Not to tear each other down, not to think the worst of each other. It is to, you know, unite and be a stronger force together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, when we go in with that intention of, you know, every time I choose to think well of this person, every time I choose to attribute a positive intent, then inshallah, I'm being rewarded for better than fasting, charity, and prayer, right? And so imagine then how many good deeds we could gain this Ramadan by just using like our, just shifting our focus, subhanAllah. Yes.
And I'm always amazed by how much psychology is embedded in Quran and Sunnah. And, you know, just this, what you have mentioned is that Allah motivating us to have the positive thoughts. You know, when you just simply think, I want to feed, let's say 100 people. I want to build a school. I want to, you know, help, you know, help with the orphans. Just having that positive intent, it's recorded as if you've done it. So Allah is training us to have positive thoughts because it is, it's rewarded. So it benefits us. It benefits our relationships, benefits our spirituality. So beautiful discussion. Jazakallah khairan. I enjoyed it, mashallah.
Wa iyakum. Same here. This was really, this was wonderful. I love the conversation and it made me miss, like realize how much I miss our, you know, our chances to have conversations, alhamdulillah. This was wonderful. Jazakallah khair.
Alhamdulillah. I'm really proud of the work that you're doing and may Allah reward you and keep you going strong, mashallah. It's, I think it's wonderful when we are expanding our, you know, the circle, the mental health circle, mashallah, because our community really needs it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Jazakallah khair, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for all your wonderful work and allow it to be a sadaqah jariyah for you and your whole family.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Please give my love to everyone. It's so good to see you.
You too. Jazakallah khair for inviting me on this. And it was so nice talking to you. Alhamdulillah. Oh,
nice talking to you too. Good luck with your submission mission. I think.
Jazakallah khair. Yes, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you everyone for tuning in and assalamu alaikum.